Next month, we are going to have elections. It's that time of the year in November. There will be some very important issues that we will be voting upon. There will be a Texas constitutional amendment to clearly define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. This is to protect marriage from being redefined. That seems to be a no-brainer what marriage is. But yet we find in our society today that there's many different definitions as to what marriage is. And unfortunately, as we look around, we see that marriage falling apart in our country. It's sad to see that the divorce rate in America is 1 out of 2 marriages. Even more sad is for us to take a little closer look at the statistic to see that that divorce rate is actually pretty much the same for Christians as well. You see, Christians are not immune to divorce. Although Scripture has provided specific guidelines for healthy marriage, it's really against our nature to be able to do and carry out God's instruction in this area. We thank God for being there to help us, for we know that we really cannot do it by ourselves. It is only when we yield to the Lord to empower us will we be able to live out those guidelines that He has set forth. Some of the people in our country anticipate divorce. They choose not to marry altogether. Instead, they live together. And if things does not work out, they just go their separate way. They feel it's much safer that way. This lack of commitment will almost assure a couple that they will break up in the future. For the union of two require intimate commitment to one another. We find other people, what they do is they choose to get married. But before they get married, they would have a prenuptial agreement written out to protect their assets. See, they anticipate that they will be divorced, that there will be problem, and that they will go on their separate way. And they want to make sure that they are looking out for their own personal well-being. They definitely do not want to share any of their possession and assets with their spouse in case things go sour. So they draft out a legal agreement that what is mine, what is yours, instead of a common property of the two when two comes together. We see that instead of seeing divorce as not an option, we find many view divorce as inevitable. It's going to happen. I better prepare myself. And as we take a look at this whole issue of marriage and divorce, it is very prevalent today. It's important to us. What does God have to say concerning about marriage and divorce? What are the components of a healthy marriage? Are there reasons for divorce that are acceptable before God? And if there are, what are they? In our society, we have accepted divorce as normal. In the same way, back in the days of Jesus, divorce was also seen as normal. And it's under this context that the religious leaders want to take advantage of it. And they go and plot a plan to corner Jesus. Jesus had just completed his ministry in Galilee. And he was on his way to Jerusalem as he passed through the Tri-Jordan area. It was there that the crowd gathered around Jesus. And whenever there was a crowd, Jesus would teach them from the Word. The Pharisees, who were very jealous of Jesus because of his success in influencing the many Jews that were present. And they saw that their own personal influence was being diminished, and they want Jesus to lose that influence that he has. So as a result, they were plotting a scheme to embarrass Jesus, to put him down, to make him less influential. Well, let's take a look at the passage that we read earlier in Mark chapter 10, verse 2. Here we see the Pharisee approaching Jesus to try to trip him up. Verse 2, it says, "Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?'" If we were to take a little closer look at a cross-reference on the same incident, which was written in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we find a little bit more detailed to this question. Notice in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, it says, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" Now, that's very important. They're asking, is there any reason? Or is it every reason? What is it? How do we know what is appropriate to divorce an individual? See, this question was a trap to Jesus. For the Pharisee anticipated that however Jesus was going to respond, they figured that they'll put Jesus in a bad light. Let me explain. If Jesus was to condemn divorce, the Pharisee felt like they got Jesus. Because you see, Jesus at that time was at the Transjordan area. It was there in that region was ruled by Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas divorced his wife so that he could marry his brother's wife. You see? And John the Baptist at the time stood up and adamantly challenged him and said, "That is not right. That is a sin." As a matter of fact, because of John the Baptist's strong stand, we find that later on he was beheaded. So the Pharisee figured, well, you know, if Jesus were to condemn, you know, the divorce, maybe Herod Antipas or the legal official would take him in and maybe he'll get his head chopped off too. You know, that's a good thing if he answers that way. On the other hand, if he were to condone marriage, a divorce, or by basically ignoring the issue, we'll see that he will create a separation from various Jews at that time. You see, back in those days, the right to divorce was highly prized by the Jewish people. There were two schools of thoughts toward divorce in Jesus' time. There was the school of Shammai, and they hold that a wife should not be divorced except for unfaithfulness. Okay, so that's one school of thought. The other school of thought was the school of Hillel. And they hold that the husband's in charge of the marital relationship. That the husband has the right to put away his wife for almost any cause. The wife does not bear children, he could divorce the wife. If the wife does not cook a good dinner, he could divorce the wife. I mean, that's kind of cruel. But yet, back in those days, men tend to have much more authority, and the woman was put aside as someone that is not very important or essential. Men tend to treat women in those days in a very senseless way, in a very inhumane way. See, back in those days, it was the doctrine of the Hillel that was a common practice for the people. As I mentioned earlier, divorce was common. It was, and men had the freedom to divorce the woman at almost anything that they do not like about them. It was also a controversial topic to be discussed among the rabbis. There were disagreements. We see there are two schools of thoughts, and there were conflict between them. And we find that the Pharisees knew that as they asked this question concerning about divorce, that however way that Jesus will respond, that it will create problems, that people will be unhappy, that there will be a group of people that will go against Jesus. And it's interesting as how Jesus responds to this so-called trap. He goes and interacts with the Pharisee concerning about what Moses has to say concerning in the law. Notice in verse 3 to 5. In verse 3 it says, "What did Moses command you?" he replied. This is Jesus asking the Pharisees. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and sent her away. It was because your heart were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. Here we see an interaction back and forth. He challenged the Pharisees, look back at the law. What does the law have to say? According to the law, Moses did permit divorce. And Jesus answered quickly by saying it was not God's really intent originally for divorce, but it is because of your hearts were hard. Because of how you treated other people, particularly the woman. Because of your wickedness, the law was established to provide this certificate of divorce. You see, actually, this law was put in place not to promote divorce, but rather this law was set forth to provide greater protection and restraint for the husband to use whatever allegation they desire to put away the wife. This makes it a little bit extra procedures and steps before they could actually divorce their spouse. You see, without the certificate of divorce, a woman could easily become a social outcast. You see, back in those days, without a man to support you, a woman's really helpless. They don't really go and work with skills. They're dependent upon the man. And if they were to be divorced and without a certificate of divorce, then they would be shunned. They would be treated as an outcast. In order for them to make a living, many of them have to end up being a prostitute just to survive. So having an official certificate of divorce allowed the woman to have a status to be free to remarry. See, back in those days, remarriage was permitted and accepted as a normal thing. But the real questions that the Jews had was not, may a divorced woman marry again? That's not the question. But rather, what was asked in the very beginning by the Pharisees, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Is it okay to divorce my wife? And if so, under what circumstances? Is it any kind of circumstances? Or are there some specific areas that is acceptable before God? Well, before Jesus really answers this question of possible exceptions, he goes back to the original establishment of marriage. And he discussed this in verses 7 and 8. He's basically quoting back in Genesis, in the very beginning of the establishment of marriage between Adam and Eve. Notice what Jesus had to say concerning about marriage. How can you have a healthy and growing marriage? Verse 7 and 8. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. There are three major components to a healthy and growing marriage. And there are leaving, cleaving, and weaving. Let me just talk about each one of them. Leaving. Each family unit is to leave their family, their original family, their father and their mother, because as they were growing up in their home, they were dependent upon their father and mother. And God says, if you're going to start a new family unit, a new relationship in marriage, you need to no longer be dependent upon your parents. Instead, you are to be dependent upon your spouse. That's the second component. You're to be cleaving together. The verse here says that they are united, to be united to his wife. Actually, I like the King James version here. It uses the word cleave. We don't use that word very often. Cleave gives us understanding of holding on together with all of your might, to be totally glued together, to be stuck together. Hear what the Lord is saying. You are no longer to be dependent upon your parents, but instead you are to cleave and cling on to and hold on to with all your might to your spouse. For you know that when there are problems, that the two of you will be able to help each other out, that you can encourage each other, that you could support each other. That is the beauty of marriage. There is an interdependence between the husband and wife, clinging on to one another. When one person has a need, the other is available to assist. They're dependent upon each other. They cannot live without each other. So we see, good, healthy marriage is not only leaving your parents, no longer being dependent upon your parents, but instead clinging on, holding on to your spouse. And thirdly, the third component of a healthy, growing relationship is weaving. The Bible says that the two will become one flesh. The two will feel and respond as one. When one is joyful, the other person is joyful and celebrate their joy. When one is sad, the other is sad. They're thinking and they're feeling interweave together. They understand each other thoroughly. And they take care of each other's needs without being told. I was at a wedding reception last night. I'm sitting with various other couples, and I just noticed that this one couple, they really know each other well. And I noticed that the wife knew what the husband enjoyed, what kind of food he enjoys, and those dishes that he enjoys, she would scoop an extra portion into his plate without any conversation whatsoever. You know, there was an understanding of one another, preference, likes and dislikes, and you make yourself available to each other and to take care of each other. It's such a joy to be able to know and to understand, to be accepted by someone that loves and cares for you. And when you have a need, you can count upon your spouse to make sacrifices to accommodate your needs. When one might be depressed, the partner would listen and comfort. When one is discouraged, your spouse will cheer you up. When you need to wake up in the morning, your partner would quickly make some coffee for you. When you need an extra hand, your spouse is right there to offer his or her assistance. Life really does not get any better than that. That's the intention of what God desires within a marital relationship. That there is a weaving together. That you know and understand each other, accept one another, value one another, and you as you understand your spouse's needs, that you will make sacrifice to meet the needs of your spouse. And that is done mutually, back and forth. You know, life doesn't get any better when that happens. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. We're talking about marriage, a healthy, growing marriage, that it involves leaving and cleaving and weaving together. Therefore, we really need to take marriage very seriously. For some of us here that are single, are looking for a mate, don't just accept anyone. Find someone that will compliment you. Find someone that will understand you and will value you. Make sure you find the right person, because you're going to live with that person together for the rest of your life. And that's a long, long time. See, God intended marriage to be permanent. It is better, actually, to be single than to marry the wrong person. And for those that are married, we need to understand that this whole courtship of striving to please your spouse does not only take place during the dating period, but even much more so when we are married, that we work doubly hard to meet the needs of our spouse, to strive to cleave together and weaving together, putting aside our personal ego and striving to give, striving to understand the needs of our spouse and doing all that we can within our power to meet the needs of our spouse. And as we give and give and consistently, that our spouse naturally will respond in giving and meeting our own personal needs. And that's what marriage is all about. And Jesus promotes that, realizing that there will be difficult times, but during those difficult times, they're really opportunity to come together and be stronger, and not to allow those difficult times to draw us apart. May we choose to stay together, because divorce is really not an option. We need each other, and we cannot live without each other. It is a mindset that we need to have. If we have a mindset knowing that, no, we're going to be together, regardless of what's going to happen, we need to work it out. Versus, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, there's a lot of fish in the pond. Jesus is promoting the first way, that we need to uphold our relationship and grow our relationship. Jesus concludes this explanation of divorce by saying in verse 9, he says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." You see, man does not have a right to separate a couple that is married. Only God does. God's the one who established marriage, and he's the only one that can set boundaries for marriage. God can declare when marriage and remarriage can be valid. And as I look at Scripture, as much as we see that God, he makes it very clear that God hates divorce in Malachi, but yet we look a little more carefully that there aren't some exception clauses for divorce. I'd like to explain two legitimate reasons according to Scripture for divorce. And they are, one, unfaithfulness, and secondly, desertion. Let's look at that a little bit more carefully. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marry another woman commits adultery." This verse clearly and simply states that there is an exception for divorce. Now, we need to remember that the general principle in marriage is for the married individual to stay married. That is God's ultimate desire. When there are tough times, you work it through. Divorce is not an option. If we need help, we seek counseling so that we can learn how we might be able to cleave together better. However, if there is unfaithfulness, you see in this verse that the innocent spouse has a right to divorce her or his spouse. Now, although he or she might have that right, it does not mean that he or she must carry out that right to divorce. God desired for the couple to seek restoration. God forgives us, and we need to learn to forgive our spouse. It might take some time to reestablish that trust, but we work through that process, even if there is unfaithfulness. And divorce is always the last option, even if it is legitimate grounds biblically. For as I said earlier in Malachi 2:16, says, God says, I hate divorce. Each one of us is vulnerable to unfaithfulness. Don't think that we are above everybody else. We need to do what we can within our power to set boundaries to protect ourselves. We must guard ourselves from going out one-on-one with someone of the opposite gender. We need to be careful when we do so. It would be better if there's other people around so that we might not use any kind of temptation that might possibly take place. Have an accountability partner that will ask us some tough questions in a regular fashion. Protect ourselves from unfaithfulness. The second exception to divorce that I can see is in recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15. And it reads, but if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking of mixed marriage. What that's talking about is where there is a Christian and a non-Christians that are married. If the unbelievers desires to live with the believing spouse, they're to stay together. And we see that actually in the earlier verses in this passage. Another word, God promotes that you stay together. That's a general principle, is permanently stay together. However, if the non-believer desired to leave the believing spouse, then the Christian can choose to divorce his or her spouse here. You notice here it says that if the unbelieving leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. Now, although there are exceptions that God has provided, this is not something that we are to set as priority. What God is trying to teach through this whole passage in Mark is the importance of marriage and the beauty of marriage. And that we should seek and do all that we can as we leave, cleave, and weave together so that we can have a growing and healthy marriage. That we should keep in the back of our mind that divorce is not to be an option. That we work through whatever circumstances, even when things are bad, even when there is unfaithfulness, that we work through it together. But as God has established marriage, He's also set aside, as I could see these two possible exceptions, and definitely it should be the last option. God desire for us to have a healthy and growing marriage. And let us pursue that. Okay, let's bow for prayer as we conclude this section. Father, we pray, Lord, that you help us to strive to build our marriage. We pray that for those that are still seeking the significant others, that you would direct the proper individual to them, someone that love you, that understands, complements, and value who we are. And together that we will be stronger. And Father, may those that are couples here that are married, that we strive to learn to cleave and weave together even more so that we can enjoy marriage to the very most. Help us, Lord. We know that we're weak. And the principles that you have given to us, it's not natural for us to do. So we ask for your assistance. We pray in Christ's name.